Hello and welcome to the 4D Human Being podcast, a show where human beings talk about being well and truly human. I'm Katie Churchman, and in this episode, I'm talking with Penelope Waller about the challenges of working from home. Now, to clarify, we both typically work from home. However, not under the circumstances I'm sure many of you are dealing with. Perhaps you've got your kids at home, or there's multiple members of your family trying to share a space, trying to get on conference calls at the same time, sharing one Wi-Fi connection. So today we're sharing our experiences with working from home under the current conditions and looking at ways we can think around these and respond differently to these challenges. This is the 4D Human Being podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
Okay, so I'm recording on my lovely iPhone today. I always have to put a little tech bit up front because every time I record a podcast, the tech seems to always be different. But today I'm recording on my iPhone. Hello, Katie.
How are you doing, Pen?
I'm all right. We're used to a virtual relationship, aren't we? So being in lockdown is going to be okay for us for this work we do.
I mean, I'm used to a virtual relationship when I have the whole apartment to myself as an office, but right now I am sharing it with my wonderful husband, who has to have three screens apparently. So I've been moved to the bedroom, so that's a challenge.
Katie, is there a hierarchy then on who gets to use the official sort of study space in the house?
I just think he needs more screens apparently for all these different programs he's using. So right. He needs a sort of a proper setup, whereas I can move my laptop and
yeah,
I'm being flexible, I'm being adaptable,
yes,
I'm being sort of helpful, but
yes,
it's hard, and there are lots of challenges that I didn't even recognise until we were pushed into this position.
Indeed. So today, Katie, what we're going to be talking about, isn't it, is we're going to be talking about obviously current events in terms of virtual working. And as 4D, we've been sending out blogs and videos and lots of information around what we're really passionate about, which is how to have really good online meetings and online conferences. But we're not going to be talking about that today. We're going to be talking a bit more about the practicals and the nitty gritty of the reality of actually working from home, because there's some really great things about it, particularly if it's something that you're quite used to doing and it's something that your company does and you've got yourself quite well set up and you've got some privacy and all of these things. If it's thrust upon you and other people in your household, and there are children at home as an example, it's a whole different ball game as to how you cope and the unexpected and indirect impact of working from home. So we're gonna talk a bit about this, it's good to hear, but you're being incredibly generous in terms of. That's my email tinging, isn't it? I'm going to turn my email off. You're being incredibly generous in terms of, yeah, the space you're giving, because I guess usually you're the one working from home and your husband doesn't. So usually you've got the run of the house.
Yes. And I typically actually use a business centre downstairs. It's part of our apartment complex, but all of those areas have been closed. So whilst I do tend to have a setup at home as well, I am usually out of the house for some portion of the day. So even for me,
okay,
to sort of be around just our normal life 24/7, it's a lot. I think if you have a big house, it's probably a tiny bit easier because you can create those spaces. But we have a one-bed apartment, which is lovely, but quite cosy when you're there all the time.
Although you do love working from your closet, Katie, which is where you record your podcast.
Initially, I did threaten to put Dan in the closet, but I was just like, oh God, he's going to get very sad there without any windows.
You'll be like, welcome to my world, Dan. I have a wonderful friend who I spoke to her yesterday for the first time in quite a while. She's in Italy. Oh, she does make me laugh. And, you know, everyone's under a lot of pressure. People are trying to keep their businesses going. The kids are all off school, as are my kids. And she said to me at one point, I mean, she was kind of laughing about it, although I think at the time it was a fairly stressful relationship moment. She said at one point she was out in the garden with her four kids. You know, they're noisy. They're young, really young kids. And she said, at a certain point, her husband locked the door, so she was locked out of the house with the four kids in the garden because he literally couldn't hear on his conference call. It was quite a crisis conference call, and he locked her out of the house. And whilst that is quite shocking, I have an enormous amount of sympathy for both parties in that situation. Yeah. Like, one for being infuriated and being locked in the garden with four kids, and the other for, like, there's no space where I can actually hear the people on the end of this call. Something's got to happen. Something's got to give. And I did think, God, that is a massive unexpected consequence of working from home and trying to manage everything. Oh, she did make me laugh. But yes, we are juggling. Work and home life are really, really meeting, aren't they?
Yeah. And also that homeschooling piece, because, you know, whilst you work from home and...
That's all that needs to be said. That's
all that needs to be said. Well, I have to say, Katie, we're recording this on Tuesday the 17th of March, just to give everybody a feeling of where we are, because this might be released and things might have changed, obviously. But because my kids go to school in Italy, we are actually in the UK. We came back quite a while ago, but the schools have been closed for quite a long time in Italy. And they've been receiving homework over an electronic register, and they have to submit homework over an app and all of that kind of good stuff. I am self-employed, and like you, I work from home, and it does count as work. Like, there is actually work to be done. And I fully appreciate everybody is doing their best, and the schools in Italy are doing their best, as I'm sure the schools in England will, as when if they close here. And yet, it's an enormous amount to put on the parents of kids to effectively homeschool. I appreciate it's homework. It's not that we have to design and do their lessons, but it's a lot to ask a child of 8, 10 and 12 years old, or 8, 11 and 12 years old in my kids, to autonomously sit there for 4 or 5 hours a day and go through a register and chunks of homework. Like, it's impossible, really.
Mm.
So it... Yes, I have to say, I have huge admiration for anybody who does homeschooling, like huge admiration. I don't know how they do it. Maybe it would be fine if I wasn't trying to work as well, but it feels very challenging at the moment, I have to say.
I wonder whether the geography of not being at school is the sort of the same challenge for a lot of adults, the geography of not having an office.
Yeah.
I think that dynamic is separating, you know, it's sort of like, oh, this is where I'm putting my head down. I'm going to work. And this is where I get to be fun. And right now they're in the fun space, but they're meant to be working.
Yeah. I'm not sure at the moment they call mummy space the fun space. but you're right. You're totally right. Because usually they're at school. I mean, the hours of their school are very long. They're at school from 8:30 to 4:30.
Oh my gosh.
So I know it's an 8-hour day. And it's quite traditional, the education system where they go. So it's, you know, at your desk, lots of writing, lots of learning, lots of tests. And they do it. I'm sure they don't love it every day, but they do it. And yet here, oh my, getting them to do an hour, it's like pulling teeth every day. So you're right. I think it is. And I really want the school to set up electronic, you know, virtual classrooms, because I feel like if they're in their rooms with the teacher at the end of a video, they'll do it. But there's just something very different about their mindset when it's mummy sort of wandering around the kitchen or sitting at her computer just trying to help with a bit of geometry. It's if you can get an hour out of them, you've had a good day. So I say this, you know, again, I'm really going to say I fully appreciate what the teachers and the education system are having to deal with. It's not easy. And I say this to anybody who's listening in countries or communities that haven't yet close the schools. Brace yourselves. That's all I'm gonna say. Brace yourselves.
It is interesting though, sort of hearing about all the technology that's getting utilized now.
Yeah.
10, 15, 20 years ago, I don't know what this situation would have looked like. So there's a real bit of me that's grateful for that. When I was talking to my mum yesterday, because we're obviously it feels like we're quite disconnected now that we can't fly to each other. So she lives in the UK, I live in America. But she did say, and we can FaceTime each other all the time. And that makes this feel a lot less scary. And, you know, when we are in these isolations, we can still reach out to a friend, and maybe we'll do that more. I've set up calls with friends at home that I haven't spoken to in a month, 2 months, and that's because of life, whereas now life stopped. Yeah. I have this time, so I'm really grateful for this, for FaceTime, for the ability to just text a friend, to send them a message on Facebook. It's a really powerful resource that we've got to use, I think, in the right way.
Yeah. And we, like you say, we are very lucky. We have a lot of tools at our disposal. I mean, obviously, lots of people, individuals and lots of companies are already really, really well set up. I mean, some of our clients produce the video conferencing software that we use. So they are well set up for this kind of working. I have to say, there are some companies that we've come across or friends of ours that work for that this is so far from how they operate. Either it hasn't been necessary because of the nature of their business, or they just haven't chosen to go down this path. And this is coming as a huge shock to them. And like you say, Katie, some of our relatives and some of our friends will just be really good at connecting on WhatsApp and on video and all these things. That it's not that we won't notice a difference. We will notice a difference, but we can really, really stay connected. My 84-year-old dad last night, bless him, he called me on FaceTime and I said, "What are you doing?" Dad, I said, "You never call me on FaceTime." And he said, "But this is a new era. This is how it's going to be now. You know, we're over 70. We're at home. We're going to be videoing you." And I thought, well, hats off to you.
I love that. Good thing.
I know. Although I have to say, it does make me laugh. Oh dear. So he's sitting there holding the phone on FaceTime. I apologize if my parents are listening to this, but I think this is fair to say that my father is a little more tech savvy than my mother. So he's sitting there on FaceTime and my mother doesn't at all understand the framing of where to be when the phone is pointing at you. So You just get like her shoulder, or you get one ear or something, and she's talking to you, and I can see that she's gesturing as if she thinks I can see her. And I'm like, but you can see on my dad's phone, you can see yourself. So you must be able to see that I can't see you. No, nothing. So I think some people are going to take a bit of practice to get a bit tech savvy.
But, oh my gosh, yes. Exactly the same as my mother. And we've been doing this for a while because I've been living here now for 18 months. But after about a minute or so, the camera will start to like tip and I'll be like, Mum, I can't see your face, and it'll go back. So yeah, there will be some lessons to be learned. And I guess that's a lovely opportunity to reach out to people who might not otherwise know about this kind of software. As of yesterday, set my parents up with an online yoga teaching program.
You're amazing. They're amazing.
It's a really great program, actually. It's called Glow, GLO, .com. And they have a 15-day free trial. And there are yoga classes for absolutely everyone. And I think it's a really great resource right now. And staying fit and healthy is a really important part of this whole process, which is harder to do if we can't get out and go to our classes. So I set them up with that, and I'm sending them a daily class to do, so that they can just click the link and it goes to it. Yeah. So if there's anything that we can do, I guess, to help people who don't use this software, I think that's going to be a really great way to get them connected.
Yeah, totally. I'm just going to go back to something you said about having a virtual yoga app as a good resource at the moment. I know this isn't going to be the focus of what we're talking about today, but it is interesting to think about what your own personal routine is in moments like this, because yes, we can't go out as much. And in the UK, that has yet to sort of be fully enforced, but it will come. And there are alternatives. So, you know, you can get a yoga app online, or, you know, maybe you can get a language learning app or whatever it might be. And there is always the temptation for some of us to just not get out of our pajamas.
Oh my God.
just to watch BBC News 24 hours a day. I have had a couple of days like that, I have to say, where the kids have said, "Oh, can we just stay in pyjamas?" And I'm fine. It's fine. And it's really fine for a few days. It's sort of like a bit of a treat. And then you have to come out. Then you have to pull out of it. Then you have to get back to, right, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to get dressed, and I'm going to have my day. Because I think otherwise, when we get to the end of however many weeks we end up trying to self-isolate or being forced to, I don't know what will be at the end of that. Will have what to be reintroduced like into society.
I still think about that meme that Philippa sent of Bart just washing himself with a sponge in bed because he's been in bed for like 3 months. I'm so worried that's going to be my fate.
That's my youngest daughter right there. Oh God, I literally just make her stand by the washing machine and pee in her pyjamas. No, but I think self-care and routine is a really good thing to think about. We might talk about that on another podcast. I think what we're interested in talking about today is the environment in which you find yourself. And kids is definitely one of them. I read on LinkedIn today this nice little message which said, when working remotely, the way that your clients or colleagues see you treating your children, because obviously if you've got the camera on, it's likely that a child will at some point enter into the room. The way they see you treating your children is indicative of how you might treat them. And it did make me think, oh goodness me, I have occasionally done a sort of a hand flick, like, don't come in, don't come in. I have said this to some clients, I have ever held my 8-year-old's head below the line of the camera when she was asking for something. And I appreciate that perhaps if clients saw some of those things, they might think, oh, that's not very nice. But it's like we said, Katie, we're now being thrown into a whole new arena of how to show up and how to combine our domestic life with our work life. Because previously, certainly when I worked in corporate, maybe a little bit less now that I'm self-employed and work from home, but it felt very distinctive to me. Like you didn't really talk about your kids as a woman in business. Certainly if you were looking to climb up the ladder, you didn't tend to say, oh, I'm going to be in half an hour late tomorrow because I'm going to do X, Y, Z and I'm, you know, I need to leave early or, you know, be on the phone to teachers or whatever it might be. Now, I think things are different. You know, it was 10 odd years ago that I was in corporate and it was a great company, but I just remember being conscious about being very professional, being very dedicated. And now the messaging I'm seeing, which I think is great in a way, is you've got to allow your domestic situation and your kids and whatever is going on. That is just part of what you're going to be living. And if that happens to, you know, collide with a conference call, then that's okay. And I wonder if for some of us that's going to take some adjusting to, because that doesn't feel what's been embedded into my brain, certainly when I was a younger woman. And probably it's the right thing. It's great. Yeah. I do try to keep the kids out of the room when there's a conference call, mainly because I can't focus as well. But it might be, Katie, that there's a whole different way that we combine and accept we are full human beings and we have a lot of stuff that we're managing, and it's going to be okay if my kid runs in here and says, I want a packet of crisps while I'm trying to talk to a client. So that might be revolutionary in terms of how we look at people and work.
It's so true. And this is such an edge for me. I experienced it this morning because, I'm very aware of my framing when I'm running a conference call. And as I'm sharing the kitchen.
When you say framing, just explain what framing means to those.
The framing of the video. So having a background that's not distracting. So not having piles of laundry and things happening in the background. But as my husband and I are sharing the living room / kitchen as our office, we're ending up having calls at the same time. So for this call this morning, I ended up going to our bedroom. And I couldn't cross that edge. It felt like too much of a sort of personal space. And I'm so aware of it. I want to come across professional on these calls. It'd be fine if it was, you know, family or friends, but this was potential clients. So, you know, you're just sort of like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. And I wonder whether other people are going to be much more accepting of that too, whether it's, you know, cats and dogs jumping into the framing or the fact that you're in your bedroom because your spouse is running a call in the living room. I don't know, but I'm hopeful that we'll all be a bit kinder with that because, it's not just a blending. It's one and the same thing right now.
Yeah.
It's inextricably combined and we can't really separate it, I think.
No, it's so true. I mean, there are some people I wouldn't mind showing my clean laundry behind me too. I mean, certainly my colleagues at 4D. But I don't think I would feel comfortable doing that with clients. I think one of the things that might be quite interesting is my assumptions about how people live. And I probably get to see quite a few people virtually because we do quite a lot of client calls and webinars and coaching online. But that's going to increase, obviously. And I think we might be quite surprised at how some people live. Like, I have assumptions that, you know, most people live in quite orderly houses. And I always think my house is the only house that's got, oh, don't even, I mean, at the moment, it's got just mountains of cardboard boxes of various sizes glued and painted together, strewn all over the kitchen floor, which is it's a dinosaur house is what it's become. This is something to just stop the kids climbing the walls. And I have an impression of how I want my house to look. You know, I love my environment. I want it to look almost like a magazine spread, you know, where there's just a massive bowl of fresh lemons on the side and nothing else touching the surfaces. And it's so far from the reality of what my house looks like at the moment. And we might get to see a bit more of that in people's houses. And you're right, Katie, it's going to test our judgment. It's going to test what we think of people and what they're dealing with. And I think it's good for us to be whole and to be open about what we're dealing with. You know, we don't live like in the adverts. We don't have all these pristine houses. It's just not how we live. So it's interesting.
And maybe those things don't matter. And I think that's the interesting thing that comes out of these kind of situations.
Yeah.
And I was just on a call with a colleague who was saying that she's lived through lots of different earthquakes and natural disasters. And what's always happened time and time again, whilst there's been, you know, real tragedy, is people have come together. And I think these things, these, you know, backgrounds to our conference calls and the fact that kids are running it, they're not going to matter. No. All these sort of levels of judgment, we're going to come down to the real stuff. Yep. And maybe that's what's been missing for a while. We haven't really had a lot of sort of real grit to sort of glue us together. And I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful it's going to change the way we are, because, you know, the magazine catalogue's lovely, but it's not what makes a home a home,
no,
right?
No, that's right. That's right. And I think we have been sold for a long time. I mean, we're not necessarily going to get into the realm of what the system has delivered to us and why and all of that, although that will be an interesting thing to talk about at some point. But we have been sold the values that are important around looking good, having wealth, having a stylish home, all of these things, beauty, all of these things that we know that they're not really the most important values in our society, but it's pretty relentless in terms of those being sold to us as important. And it was funny because I was scrolling through my Instagram yesterday, and one of the things that flick up on the feed, I don't know why, is this service you can get. I don't know if it's in the States or in the UK, but it's a fashion service where you get sent 5 items of clothing every month that somebody else picks for you. It's like a stylist. And I've always found it quite interesting watching those little advert videos, just seeing what the different clothes are like. I've never subscribed to it, but it's just interesting. I think, oh, I wonder what type of clothes they have in these boxes. Anyway, scrolling through the other day, yesterday, and I saw this advert again, and it just hit me in such a different way than it had previously. Previously, I was quite curious. It was interesting. Oh, that looks nice. Oh, I'd like a blouse like that. Yesterday, when I watched it, I just looked at it and was incredulous. And I thought, are you not in the world that we're currently in? Are you not realizing that getting 5 items of the updated stylish clothes delivered to us every month is it's sort of nowhere near what anybody needs at the moment. So I think media messaging, advertising messaging is going to start hitting us very, very differently.
Yeah. And maybe that's a really good thing, because I think even within our world and our work, it's hard sometimes to focus on the things that matter. Yeah. And I realised the other day, so we've been taking part in this transformation challenge over here. It's a part of a gym where members of, and it's based on body fat percentage. And after 8 weeks, I was so annoyed because I went up and I was like, I've been to every class.
It's muscle, Katie. It's muscle.
It was definitely muscle. But I also then blamed the technology. But I took a breath and I was like, but it just doesn't matter, does it? Like, I mean, at least I've got some padding now for, you know, the sheltering to come. But it was just such a wonderful weight off my shoulders that it just doesn't matter. And I think I know that, right? We all know that intellectually, but to actually own that, it was such a different thing. But it's only sort of now, I think, for a lot of it's landing. It's like, it just doesn't matter, that surface stuff.
No, that's right. That's right. And Yes, there will be meaning making and learning out of this. There is no doubt about that, both from the individual level right up to the sort of macro system level. And, you know, one of the things that is really important that you've made me think about is relationships. And it's going to be like our relationships are put under the microscope.
Yeah, if we think of the Gottman research, he says that 69% of problems are perpetual in that they are always there. And that's somewhat unnerving for the situation that we're facing, but also it offers me confidence because we can go in acknowledging that this isn't going to be easy and it's normal for there to be moments of tension, yeah. Particularly in this situation. Everything has been magnified. So yeah. Those 69% of problems, they've been magnified. We're with them now more. So know that you're not alone in that.
No.
Everyone's going to be having a struggle.
Totally. And I think we would do well. In fact, I'm, you know, this is a note to myself more than anyone. Again, I think we go through phases through a crisis. And I think it's very much been, I mean, certainly for me, initially it's been, how can I manage the business in this new world we find ourselves in? How can I make sure that the kids are still doing enough schoolwork based on the fact they're at home? So it's quite task driven. And I think the shift for me and for lots of us is going to have to be, as we talk about a lot in 4D, we are going to have to really focus on the relationship piece even more so because of the fact that we're going to be in quite close proximity. And you might be able to hear one of my kids screaming downstairs as I'm recording this. We're going to have to really consciously focus on that part and not just to assume and expect that the relationship piece will take care of itself. You know, it's all very well saying, well, we're all in this together and we've all just got to get on with it. Well, people have got quite different ways of coping, quite different ways of responding. And I think we're going to have to take time to consciously respond and nourish our relationships if we've got any hope of by the end of this lockdown, we're gonna be sane and still in relationship. I might have to go and see how my slightly struggling 8-year-old is in a minute.
You know what? My husband just WhatsApped me to ask if he could take a shower because he was worried it was going to affect the recording. So maybe this is a great time to sign off.
Oh, Katie, he's already at Tony Robbins level 3. He's putting your needs first. I mean, you are in the closet while he's got the office space. Now he's asking if it's okay for him to have a shower if he doesn't disturb you. It sounds to me like there's a lot of care and consideration going on there, Katie. I wonder if Dan wouldn't mind having a word with my 3 kids and seeing if he can share some of that understanding with them.
Well, we're on day 2 of quarantine. I'll let you know where we are on day 10.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks as always for listening to the 4D Human Being podcast. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking topically about everything that's happening in our world and how we can respond more consciously to these situations so that we can happen to the world as opposed to the world happening to us. For more tools, techniques and thoughts, do check out our social feeds using the handle at 4D Human Being. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And remember, now more than ever, are you happening to the world, or is the world happening to you?